Going Linux, episode 194, Handling Audio Files, an Introduction. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill, filling in for Tom, who is taking the holidays off.
Well, I think that's the job of a chief executive minion, don't you?
I do.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and use them to get things done. In today's episode, Handling Audio Files.
So, Bill, can you give us a little bit of an update on what's going on with that new computer and the new hard drive you were thinking of putting in there? Did you get that? Did it work? How's it going?
Well, Larry, Christmas did not come for me.
Well, it's not Christmas yet as we record this, so
it's not going to come for me anyway. Oh. Western Digital played a mean trick on me.
What did they do?
One of our listeners, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but you know who you are, sent me a email saying, yes, you're right, the Western Digital Velociraptor 10,000 RPM 600 gigabyte 2.5 internal notebook hard drive does not fit into a hard drive bay of a laptop because they put all this massive heat sinks on it.
So why do they call it a laptop drive then?
I don't know.
It's a laptop drive not designed for laptops.
They're toying with the chief executive minion's hopes and dreams, and they just crashed at 10,000 RPMs.
Oh, so what are you going to do?
I'm going to read our latest feedback and our next listener feedback and kind of see what our listeners suggest. But right now, I guess I'm just going to try for a 7200 RPM mechanical drive.
Okay.
I don't know how well an SSD will hold up, because I'm constantly moving things around. I'm not saying they're not great and everything, but, I would rather not have to find new problems. Someone told me you have to do something with trim. I don't know if it's built into the operating system, whatever. I just don't know enough about it. I'm hoping one of our listeners is like a SSD hardware guru who can school the chief executive minion. So
yeah, okay. Well, you know, on this SSD thing, I am going to be getting an SSD drive for my existing laptop for Christmas.
Nice.
It's sitting there wrapped up under the tree. I can't get my fingers on it until after Christmas, but then I'll insert it in here, upgrade this machine. I decided not to get a new computer. I decided to upgrade the hard drive to an SSD, upgrade the RAM to the maximum possible for this machine, which was 8 gigabytes, about half of what I was looking at on a new machine. And I think that will do for another year or two. And we'll find out how an SSD drive lasts. You know, a lot of the Ultrabooks are coming with SSD drives in them now. And you would think that they would have tested them out ahead of time. But you know how laptop manufacturers go.
Which one did you get?
I got a Crucial 512 gigabyte SSD.
Oh, I heard they're nice.
Yeah.
You know what you could do while the wife's asleep? You could take a razor blade and put an old laptop drive in and pull a new shiny SSD and put it in your computer. She'll never know.
I don't think I haven't thought of that, but I've thought of it. I haven't done it, but I have thought about it.
I tell you what, if you want to, I can provide some cover. You know, I can keep her busy while you do it. You know?
No, I think it's close enough to Christmas now. I mean, it's only a couple of days away as we record this episode, so I think I can wait that long. So we're definitely getting a lot of feedback from our listeners on spinning drives, SSD drives, all kinds of advice. So thanks for that. Keep it coming, and we'll let you know how it goes from both of us.
Yeah, and guys, just so you know, this is we're so busy with our holidays and stuff. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but we wanted to get one out to you. One, to wish everybody a happy holidays, but also to kind of whet your appetite for the more in-depth, advanced episode. But one last question, Larry. Is your wife getting any new tech?
Well, she cracked her iPhone screen.
Ooh.
So there's a perfect opportunity. We're going to go today and see if we can get it fixed. So if that doesn't happen, there may be an upgrade in her future. But she has asked not to have tech. I have offered to get her a new laptop, and she said, because hers is even older than mine, and she said, no, I'm happy with what I've got running Linux Mint 13. And so that's why I'm getting the hard drive, because that money we were going to spend on that is going to me. So she said, no, I don't need anything. And so we ended up upgrading our we've done some joint family upgrades to tech. So we upgraded our Dish Network television to a DirecTV. Mm-hmm. And I call it upgrading because we went from old technology to new technology and have a DVR now so that we can record shows and all kinds of cool stuff. And then we also went to Time Warner and said, hey, we're fed up of this really, really crappy upgraded internet you've got. And they said, oh, okay, well, we'll come in, we'll upgrade you one step further. And we'll have a technician come in, replace your hardware, and then look at all the cabling. Turns out, after replacing the old 1940s vintage modem that we had with a new Motorola one, which also has a wireless router built in, kind of cool, they found that, you know, in California, they run the wires to a box in the lawn, mm-hmm. that is kind of a hole in the ground, literally a hole in the ground with a plastic cover over it. Well, all of the connections for the cable, the internet, were completely corroded, which explains why when it rained, of course, that hole in the ground fills up with water. Our internet slowed down to a crawl.
That's great planning.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's, you know, all the utilities come in underground here, at least in this neighborhood and in most neighborhoods that have been around since, the mid-70s.
Well, let me tell you.
Here in California.
Let me tell you a quick thing what Time Warner's doing over here. Mm-hmm. They sent out a letter saying, hey, we're going to start charging you, I think it's like $4.95 extra for your cable modem, or you can go buy one. I'm like,
really?
Okay. Yeah. And I said, well, you know what? I ain't going to buy one because when this pig dies, and it will die, I'm coming in and I want a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they give you a list of what they would like you to have. And I just don't feel like dealing with all the, you know, you had to call in and give them their serial number on the back and all this other stuff. I'm like, you know, this is your modem. If it busts, it gets surged, I get mad at it, throw it outside. You know, you still have to replace it. I'll give you your $4.95. I think it's kind of chintzy. I'm already paying you a decent amount for your internet, but I'm not bitter. So anyway, Time Warner does the same stuff to us too.
Yep. Yep. Well, at least in my case this time, we ended up with something better. Or at least I hope so. We're recording using that connection now, and it seems to be working well. And yeah. It does seem to be going faster than it was before, so that's good.
Okay. Now, before we start talking about this episode, all our listeners, I want you to go to the show notes, and there is some wiki links that I'd like you to read before the next episode to get you kind of up to speed on the advanced episode, and so you can catch us when we make errors.
The Going Linux Podcast assigns homework.
Yes, over the Christmas holidays. Can you believe? We love you guys. But just think, whoever finds out the first error that we make is allowed to take Tom's office and rearrange it.
And that's supposed to be an incentive?
Oh, I meant. Yeah. Never mind. Okay, Larry.
All right. Shall we start into this episode?
Yeah, let's get into this episode before we rat hole this thing.
Okay. All right. Again, in this episode, we're going to be talking about how you can handle audio files in Linux. And one of the things people coming over from other operating systems have is music, of course.
And then people wonder if they can still play their music and other questions concerning the audio files. There are several types of audio files that different operating systems use.
The types of audio files that you're familiar with in Windows are things like WAV files. That's what the Windows Media Recording tools typically will record in. And then there's something else called FLAC. Both of those are lossless formats. So we'll talk about that in a second.
And then we have, everybody's heard of MP3s, and then AAC. And then we have OGG and Windows Media. WMA, Windows Media
Audio. I think, yes.
And then did you know Apple has Apple Lossless Audio or ALIC codec that they license for free?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be along the lines of a WAV, FLAC, and ALAC, which are all supposed to be lossless. They don't compress like an MP3 or an OGG or AAC.
Right. File formats for audio like WAV and FLAC and so on are lossless, which means they're recorded digitally the way they actually come into the machine. They're not compressed in any way. They're bit for bit a sampling of the audio.
The problem with those type of files is they can be huge.
Absolutely, which means you, for average use, especially when you're sending them over the internet, you want to use something that's lossy. Bill, tell us a little bit about lossy formats.
I'll use the MP3. From what I understand, if I'm wrong, yeah, I'm sure you're going to write and tell me I'm wrong. They take certain aspects of the sound file and chop them off. And then they compress it because they say certain people can't hear above a certain frequency. Because when you have a law, like you're recording in WAV, it's got everything, even stuff that you can't hear. Now, there are people who say they can hear it, and, you know, they say the only way to listen is in a lossless format. But for most people running with their iPods or their Android phones or whatever, MP3 has been around for a while, and it offers pretty good quality. Now, there's a predecessor to that that everybody's heard of. It's called AAC. AAC, yes, Apple had used AAC for a while, but it's not exclusively an Apple product. It was supposed to be the predecessor to the MP3 because it's supposed to offer better sound with the smaller files. And then you have the open source OGG, and I encoded a couple songs from a WAV with MP3, AAC, and OGG, and they all come out pretty close, within a few, you know, megabytes of each other. I thought in some instances the OGG sounded better, and other instances I thought the AAC sounded better. I have not played with the Windows Media Audio too much. I had actually had one song that I had apparently bought when I was still playing with the Zune, and it has the reason they have it is it has so much DRM in it. They can tell you, you know, how many times you played it, if you can play it again, that kind of stuff. And I think it's only supported on Microsoft, so it's not a good format to go to. If you're going to go to a format, it depends, and we'll talk about that in a minute. MP3, AAC, or AUG seems to be the best general purpose formats. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, just taking a point from your discussion about the different sizes of the files and the quality of the files, I think that if you take a look at the three files that we actually put out in our podcast. There's an MP3 file, there's an AUG file, and then there's a 64 kilobit MP3. And we did the 64 kilobit MP3 because some folks were saying that our MP3 files were way too big. So for the exact same recording, if you take a look at episode 192, for example, the 64 kilobit file for MP3 is 21.7 megabytes in size. The exact same file in 96 kilobit is 32.5 megabytes. So there's a, you know, a significant increase in size. And now let's compare that with the AUG format. Now, AUG, when you encode it using Audacity, it's not described in kilobits, but the quality that we use for our AUG feed is about the same as the 96 kilobit MP3. But the size of the AUG file with the same quality as that 32.5 megabyte MP3 file is about the size of the 64 kilobit MP3. It's 23.3 megabytes in size. So what that means is that for the same size AUG and MP3 file, the AUG has much higher quality. For the same level of compression or the same number of kilobits, the AUG is much smaller in size than MP3. So that kind of illustrates your point in a very long-winded way, Bill. But in terms of which is better, it depends on what you're doing with it. Of course, from a listening perspective, the higher the quality, the better. And you would typically, for the maximum quality, you want to have no compression at all. But when you're trying to get something like a podcast out to as many listeners as possible, the highest quality with the smallest size is the best. So for you listeners out there that are subscribed on iTunes, you really don't have much choice. But if you're subscribed to us from one of our feeds directly, and you can do that from any podcast receiving software that is capable of receiving both MP3 and AUG, you're better off with the AUG file because it's smaller than the MP3 and it is about the same quality, maybe a little bit better than the MP3 that you get from our standard MP3 feed or from iTunes. So that's what I would recommend is if you have a choice, subscribe to the AUG feed.
Yeah, but we're going to add one caveat to that. Example, you use an Android phone. Mm-hmm. Your wife uses an iPhone. I'm actually using an iPhone temporarily. And iPhones don't play AUG.
Right.
So before you go crazy and say everything goes to AUG, you have to kind of look at what devices you're going to be using it on. And what operating systems. Some of us run multiple operating systems, Linux, Windows, Mac. I think there's even an Amiga out there somewhere. But you want to make sure that you can listen to your music. So before you jump into just, I'm going to only use AUG or I'm only going to use AAC or MP3, look at the devices you're going to be using, and because you really don't want to have to recode something again just to play it on your Android phone.
Right, because every time you re-encode something, you're losing some information.
Not necessarily. If you're encoding from a if you said I'm going to store all my music as waves and then convert it.
Right.
Yeah, you're not, it's going to be a perfect encode every time. What I have heard, and I've tried this, and it's actually in your repositories, and maybe some of you guys want to try it. It's called Ogg Convert. It will take an MP3, AAC, WMA, and will convert it to an Ogg, and you can tell it how high of a quality you want it. It does a fairly good job, but as a general policy, we don't recommend you encoding from one lossy format to another.
Yeah, that's where you lose quality, is lossy to lossy. If you're going from non-lossy to a lossy format, like from WAV to MP3, you're not losing anything. But if you go from MP3 to OGG, or from OGG to MP3, the chances are you're losing some of the quality of the file as you make the conversion. And you can test that out for yourself by taking a file and converting it from OGG to MP3, and then from MP3 to OGG, and then OGG to MP3 several times, and then compare the final file you have with the original, and you'll hear the difference.
You'll be shocked, because every time you encode, it takes a little bit away. It takes a little bit away. It takes a little bit away. So be careful with doing that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Everybody knows where they can get music, and if you buy music online, you can get it from the Ubuntu Music Store. You can get it from Amazon, and you can even get it from the Apple Store.
Is that what they're calling iTunes these days?
Well,
yeah, you can purchase the music from the store. You can listen to it on iTunes on your iDevice, right?
Yeah, on your iDevice. I call it the iTunes Store because if you go to the new iTunes, it actually has a store built in. So, yes.
Okay.
So, yes, you can get it from the iTunes client, which I must point out, they finally unuglified. It actually looks good.
Yeah, good.
They're actually catching up with Ubuntu One's music store. Shh, don't tell anybody. if you decide that you want to use OGG for your main music source, we have an old friend that is cross-platform, and it's a nice program. It can be a little clunky on Windows sometimes, but it will play just about every file, including OGG, and that's VLC. If VLC can't play it, it just isn't playable.
Right, exactly.
And it's free.
Yeah, it is. And when you switch to Linux, you can still play your music. And if you actually want to rip music from a CD that you may have purchased, for example, and you want to carry it around in your portable media player rather than carrying a Sony Walkman CD player around with you. Do they still make those? there are many, many good programs. Here are just a sampling of a few. So in addition to VLC, there's Asunder, there's SoundJuicer, there's Audex, and there are lots of them out there. Just go into your software repositories for Linux and look for CD ripping or music ripping or transcoding software.
All those programs are available in your repositories. One suggestion I'd like to make to you guys is try a few of them and play with the options. I found that SoundJuicer, which I've used, has a lot of options that you can tell it how you want to save the file. Do you want to rip it to a WAV? Do you want to rip it to an OGG? Do you want to rip it to an MP3? And so sometimes you have to kind of find the program that works for you. But this is not an exhaustive list.
Oh, no. There are lots of them out there.
I want to add just a little sideline to this. We gave you the Linux rippers for your music, but if you're like using Windows part time and using Linux the other part, you can use there's some decent programs that are free over on Windows side that you can encode your music, and then you can move it over to your Linux partition if you want. And some of those, actually, believe it or not, iTunes does a fairly decent job of ripping MP3s, and has some pretty easy presets. And you can also tell to do the lossless, the ALEC, and you also can tell it to do MP3. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying if you happen over there and say, man, I got all my music over here, and you just don't want to boot into Linux, you can rip them, and you can move them over to your Linux partition next time you boot in. And guess what? Most of the time, the music players will see that all the tags are still intact, and if you run an Ubuntu, it actually pull up the album art. So it's you can't lose either way. You kind of got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of rephrase what you said. I'd like to say that if you accidentally found that you had booted into OS X instead of your Linux partition, and you didn't want to actually take the time to switch, you could transcode it right there while you're in Mac. Yeah.
We're all about being pragmatic, you know? So, We'd rather use the Linux, but there's other options out there. We think that I personally think Sunder and SoundJuice are two of the finest programs. So give them a whirl and let us know what you think.
Yeah. And unfortunately, in today's world, MP3 for audio is probably the most supported on everything Windows, Mac, and Linux. And that's the one that is the default standard. But I have heard recently, and I think it was on Hacker Public Radio, one of the episodes that was on there, and I was searching for it before we started our recording. I could not locate that particular episode, so I don't have a reference for you in the show notes, but they were talking about just this topic, about audio codecs and encoding and the quality of the files and so on, and they were talking about a movement to make Ogg Theora, the video format, and Ogg Vorbis, the audio format, the standards. And what is going on with audio and video standardization on the internet and the move to WebM and other things. So take a search through the Hacker Public Radio last half of 2012 episodes. I know since they have them daily, that's a lot to search through, which is why I didn't find it. But I have listened to it as recently as the last couple of weeks. And they were talking about it in much more depth than we are here. And hopefully we'll be able to find that episode and reference it in our advanced episode.
The good news is that MP3 is not going anywhere for a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're pretty safe. If you want to stay with MP3, it's going to be there. You're safe. You don't have to worry. They've been fighting about specifications of these codecs for 15 years, and I don't think it's going to be solved. By the way, the world did not end. I have to go to work today. I just thought those Mayans were wrong. Oh, sorry. A little bitter there. I was hoping for a little bit of rest. But anyway, seriously, use MP3 or whatever you like. And just remember, if you have different devices, to kind of take those into account.
Right.
But I have a question for you. When we get voicemails sent to us from cell phones,
mm-hmm.
and it's some weird like .gps or whatever, how do you find the ability to play that? Because on Windows, it just looks like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, VLC plays them just fine. And it depends on the recorder. So if you're recording to our voicemail line on the Going Linux homepage. There's a voicemail line you can call into there. And Google provides that to us in an MP3 format. So that's no problem. But we've received some that are in an AMR format.
Yeah.
And I don't even bother trying to do anything with that. I just import it as audio into Audacity and it plays it just fine. And then of course, when I record the episode, it just bumps it back out as AUG and MP3, depending on which format we're recording the episode in. But if I do need to transcode it, I'll use Audacity to do the transcoding if we get something in a funky format. And if I can't, and I haven't run into this yet, but if I couldn't import it into Audacity and then save it back out again, what I would do is probably open it in VLC and then use VLC to save it back as something else or just record from the VLC stream. By the way, in Linux, at least in Linux Mint, that AMR file automatically is associated with Movie Player, the Movie Player application, which is Totem. So some of these audio funky formats are actually audio, perhaps from video, or to be used in video. Anyway, the way Linux Mint in particular has them associated by default is with the Totem player, which is another one of those players that will play just about anything, audio or video.
That's interesting. People say that Linux might be a little weak on the video programs, but they've got the audio nailed. I have never seen an operating system with so many tools to be able to handle just about any format. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And all you have to do is go into the software center or the repositories and just search for AUG, and you'll find all kinds of AUG tools for joining AUG files together and splitting them apart and multiplexing them together and transcoding, all kinds of stuff in there. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, which is one of the advantages of recording your podcast using Linux is you have so many tools you can use to do so many fancy things, most of which we don't do here because we're just simple audio, voice only, very little music. It's easy to do, but at least that lets us get these episodes out to you three times a month in our spare time.
Actually, if you really want to get down to it, it's Larry's the one that listens to the podcast. He probably dreams about the Going Lines podcast. He listens to Tom and myself and makes us sound smart. It's all Larry.
Ah, you are smart. I just take out the ums and the ahs for the most part.
Okay. The last question before we kind of wrap this puppy up and go eat candy canes or go to work or go spend time with our families is, do you have music on your computer, Larry?
I do have music on the computer. Not much.
What's your favorite format?
Format, actually AUG for music because, my ecosystem that I personally use is all open source or at least AUG compatible. So I have Android and I have Linux and that's about all I use.
Okay. Well, I use three, MP3, AUG, and AAC just because I have multiple operating systems. It's becoming less and less necessary to maintain those three. I just am too lazy to re-encode some of these CDs that I've ripped and put back in the cases and put back in the bookshelf.
Yeah.
And so basically, I'm going to be doing some tests for our advanced episode to kind of get some ideas. And so I hope everybody will find that interesting. So, Larry, what's our next episode?
Our next episode is listener feedback, which will be at the beginning of January. And that will be an exciting episode because we'll have all the feedback you've provided us over the holiday period and for the new year.
And make sure you tell us all the cool tech you got so I can be jealous and we can, I can rib Larry a little bit.
So until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations.
And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the forums to leave your topic suggestion in the thread labeled Topic Suggestions. And it's at forum.goinglinux.com.
If you want to support our efforts, click the Donate button while you're there on our webpage. You can also send us an audio comment by email, and we'll play it on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, our phone number is 1-904-468-7889, and that goes directly to voicemail.
You can follow our show updates on Twitter. Tweet us at Going Linux, or you can join our Google Plus community. Look for Going Linux Podcast, and it's rapidly growing, and we appreciate everybody that's joined.
Yes, we're getting lots of comments and suggestions and ideas and thoughts. Thanks. You can download our episodes from our website, or you can play them right there on the website from the show notes page. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Tom would say, talk to you later, and I will say 73. Have a great holiday.
New music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.